A poor boy named Arthur learns the power of love, kindness, knowledge, and bravery with the help of a wizard called Merlin, on the path to become one of the most beloved kings in English history.
Hi, I'm Andre.
I'm Michelle.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Luis.
And we are The Walt Vault, a family-friendly podcast where we get silly and talk about Disney movies. Hello and welcome to The Walt Vault, episode 22. 22. 22. today we're talking about the 1963 animated film The Sword in the Stone.
Did you say sword?
Sword.
The Sword in the Stone, which our lovely listeners voted on. First of all.
Thank you for voting.
No.
Not quite sure. I am thankful for your
I votes. Have a bone to pick with the listeners because.
Uh-oh. Damn, we went straight from zero
I love,
to
I love our listeners. Picked. And they
Old
picked
woman
Sword
negative.
In the Stone, which I'm excited about because I've never seen Sword in the Stone. So I'm not mad that you guys voted for Sword of the Stone or Cars, because I love, that's cool. I'm really mad that nobody voted for Brother Bear, not one single soul. And that movie is great. That's all I have to say.
It is great. Very
that's the bone
underrated.
You're picking?
That not one single person voted for Brother Bear.
Guys, we're not mad, we're just disappointed.
Oh, whoa.
That was a dad voice if I ever heard
and
one.
We're mostly Disney just dad. Disappointed at the fact that, you know, Sword in the Stone just wasn't what we thought it was.
Well,
be.
Speak for yourself.
Sword?
The Sword in the Stone.
Sword in the Stone. The Stone.
Bim, bim, madam, bim. She's crazy. Okay, anyways.
And I always speak for myself.
I'm just going to say, if you haven't watched Brother Bear, you should.
I haven't, so.
Well, watch it, babe.
Oh, okay.
What are your first impressions on The Sword in the Stone, Andre?
I loved this movie as a small boy. When I was a small boy, I enjoyed this movie greatly.
Once upon a time, Andre
Once
was a small
time,
boy.
A small boy named Andre. Watch the Sword in the Stone.
Stop. are we reenacting the beginning of this movie?
Oh, yeah. How'd that song
in
go?
The early no, I have no idea. Oh, okay. I've never heard that song
in
before.
The medieval in London.
I did not remember that
town,
song at all.
Town.
But, yeah, I liked it a lot as a kid. I have a lot of fond memories of this movie. Watching it again as an adult is a little bit strange because the plot is not it's straightforward, but it's not as there's not much to do with swords or stones.
It is not straightforward.
Not cohesive.
Cohesive.
Cohesive with
my,
the sword okay. in the stone.
Oh, my first God. Impression of this movie is it was cool at the beginning because they were talking about the legend of the sword and the stone. And then the movie happened and there was nothing to do about no sword and no stone until the last minute of the movie. So that was the only confusing part. I just think they should have named the movie Merlin's Life Lessons instead of Sword in the Stone.
Life Lessons with Merlin.
From Merlin.
That's a good documentary right there. Life Lessons with Merlin.
I mean, the whole movie, I feel as if like maybe 1970, you know, health teacher can go ahead and just pop in like the first 70 minutes of this movie for, you know, sex ed and all that, and it pretty much covered the bases.
Yeah.
Basically.
Just that squirrel scene alone.
No. Okay, well.
Talk about tragedy.
We're on first impressions,
wow.
people. We obviously got a lot to say. Emily, what was your first impressions of The Sword in the Stone?
It was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Was it swordy?
It kind of. Was animated.
Yep. Correct on
you
both
know,
fronts.
You know what? It my first impression is the music was good.
It
the
was
Sherman
good.
Brothers.
That music
the
was
Sherman
great.
Sherman Bros. Richard and Robert Sherman did the music for this.
Sherman
that's
Bros.
My first. They did a bunch of other music for Disney movies, right? I think they did.
Yeah,
like,
I liked
the
little
Jungle
fishy
Book
song.
And
yeah.
That was a good one.
Cool. They were like the first Alan and Menken because
yeah.
they are really what set the tone for Disney music, especially in the early days. And I found like a huge appreciation for them watching another Disney movie, which some of us have not seen, Saving Mr. Banks. They have like a part in that
right.
movie.
Yes, that's
oh, interesting.
But
were they the two characters that were playing the music?
Yes.
Mind blown.
enjoyed them in the movie. Now he knows.
Now he's like, oh, I like this movie.
But that's my first impression, is music was really good in this movie.
Super. What about you, Luis? You did say your swordy stuff.
First swordy.
I am going to have to say that I was...
I liked it. Okay. In a certain degree, I liked it. I liked it up until the point where I realized that Merlin was still delivering life lessons with a little less than 10 minutes left in the movie.
Life lessons
and
with
no
Merlin.
No sword had made it to the screen.
I think what happened is last week we watched Pirates of the Caribbean and there was lots of swords. And then this movie was called Sword in the Stone and we were like, yeah, more swords. Well, we didn't get that.
There was even swords entangled.
There was
more swords in that movie.
And frying pans.
There was also a frying pan in this movie. Don't discount Sword in the Stone.
True. There were actually quite a bit of frying plans.
There was a lot of dishes in this movie.
There were frying plans, too.
Frying plans. Okay, well, all the plans that don't rock are going to fry.
Let's go ahead and start with that scene where Merlin... Let's talk about Merlin first. Because he
is the movie.
He is the movie, and he's the main character of the movie.
He's the genie of this
Merlin
movie.
Merlin in the Stone.
I love
Dumbledore of the Stone.
Merlin. Merlin was the best part about the
stone
movie.
Stone in Merlin.
He's literally Merlin. This old wizard that knows everything about the future, which is just so interesting to me. And he's literally giving life lessons with Merlin to this little boy that just pops into his... cottage in the middle of a forest.
See, that's the part I appreciate.
And he has
I
a pet owl named
Archimedes. And teaching thing with which is
cool.
Little boy.
Right.
I appreciate that a lot.
Because you're
like
a teacher.
That. Well, not because of that, but because he...
Sounds like bias.
And you're a teacher's wife. But anyways...
There's no teacher's wife in this movie. I'm Archimedes, obviously. What?
What? What?
What? What?
What? What?
That is a fair comparison.
Ooh.
But anyways... going back to that whole point,
stay out all night, get Hilligrim.
Oh man, you made me lose my train of thought now.
Merlin is a teacher.
Yeah, okay. There was a purpose to all of the things he was teaching because
yes.
he saw the future. He was going to become the king. I was all about that. But like I said, I started to kind of not like that once I started to see that the teachings were going on for the majority of the movie.
I'm going to need you to back up here because I, even though, yes, he was teaching said wart, I do not think that he knew. Number one, he didn't know who he was. And number two, I don't think he knew who he was going to be.
Right.
Because in the whole thing, he was like, I'm just going to teach you how to be fantastic for your future.
Yeah.
Because even at the end, until he was crowned king, he was like, oh, Arthur, you're going to be great.
Look
he did
that.
Not know who he was going to be.
He didn't know.
He didn't know who he was going
to be.
And
he was fighting so vehemently against Arthur being any kind of squire or knight or anything like
which
that.
Which is hilarious.
Which seems like pretty good stuff
he
to know
like,
if you're going to
you
be a king,
have
right?
To Well, the whole point of this movie is brains over brawn, right? It was really what he's trying to teach him. Like, you got to get an education. Like, you don't want to be just some brawny
person.
Don't just
be picking up lances for dudes.
Okay, so yeah, he may not have, or forgetting swords in the ends.
Swords.
So he may not have outright said he's going to become king, but he knew he was going to be somebody important, which
important.
That's the purpose. That's the reason
yes,
why I
but
liked
he didn't.
That part
yes,
of the movie.
I want to know who the
it.
President was at this time. Or were they trying to like poke fun at like leaders, like world leadership or something?
Maybe.
Like,
this came
what
out
year
out
was it?
Was there 63? Like a not so smart
63,
president?
We're probably looking at
looking like the late 50s.
Eisenhower, maybe.
Let's see, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh.
And then John.
Luis's least favorite president.
And then John F. Kennedy, right?
Oh.
During the same year, basically.
Well, John F. Kennedy, it couldn't have been against him.
But when they wrote the movie, it would have been
yeah,
Lyndon
no,
B.
Well,
Johnson.
You know what? No. Here's the deal. It would not have been a shot at any of those two because, unfortunately, you know, JFK didn't make it through the end of his presidency because he was assassinated. And Lyndon B. was too early on to taking over that. You really didn't get why Lyndon B. Johnson was hated until after the movie came out. So
who was right before that?
Well, this movie was actually based on a book that was written in 1939. So in 1939, the president
who was the president
was
then?
George
Franklin
Washington.
D. Roosevelt.
Just kidding.
Whoa. It was Roosevelt.
It was Franklin Roosevelt.
Probably one of the greatest presidents.
Yeah,
ever
so
had,
unfortunately, so. Emily's theory
no
shot
connection.
To hell.
No
there
connections.
You go.
Okay, listen.
None.
Merlin, we're back on Merlin. Merlin is
Marvin?
Dumbledore.
You mean Marvin?
Well, here I have
Albus
I have
Wolfric, Brian,
Marvin.
Percival
I have
Dumbledore?
Three wizards in my head. We got Dumbledore,
mm-hmm.
Dorf,
Gandalf,
Gandalf,
and we got Merlin,
Marvin.
and
what?
Yen Sid, the other Disney wizard.
Sorcerer Yen Sid doesn't count. We haven't talked.
Yeah, Sorcerer Yen Sid does count because both Yen Sid and Merlin are both based on Walt Disney himself. They both are modeled after.
Well, I'm going to say that.
Luis, do you know who that is? Can someone explain that? Walt Disney. We know who that is.
Isn't that the wizard who Mickey's is the apprentice
yes.
for?
Yes,
Mickey and a magical map.
He's got a map that's magical.
Boom.
That's the official theme song for Mickey and the Magical Map at
the best show in the entire universe.
And if they don't play that song when you're there, you should complain.
Don't worry, we'll sing it for you. So yeah, that's what I think of Sorcerer Yen Sid when his giant face comes on the screen. But I will say that Merlin is top... I was going to say top two wizards, but I think I'm just going to say he's the third wizard. He's a top three wizard.
Well, there's only four, so that's not very good.
Well, it goes... I got a bone to pick with Dumbledore, too. Never mind. I'm not going to rate the Wizards of Wizardry.
Well, you know, it's funny because we've had conversations about wizards so many times, the four of us.
Yeah.
Just because we do watch a lot of fandom type movies. And I feel like every single time a wizard pops up, we are like, wow, they're really not so great wizards.
Right.
They're really good at talking their way out. Yeah. Like, think of Dumbledore. Pretty much every time he comes on screen, he's talking his way out. And he even says, like, words are our greatest asset or whatever he says. And Gandalf in Lord of the Rings.
He barely uses magic ever.
And he gets himself trapped.
Only when you shall not pass, man.
Yeah. Like, he's never where he says he's going to be. So if Gandalf
he's always on time.
Nah.
Always.
He shows up when he means to.
Wizard shows up when he means to.
But like if you tell him, if he says, I'm going to be there at noon, you best believe he's going to be caught by 11. Like he is not going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Merlin is like a fun wizard though, because I will say that I need Merlin in my house right now. Because there's some dishes going on that need to be done.
Oh, my favorite scenes are when he's cleaning or
packing.
Or packing.
I love it. And we very much associated it with Fantasia and like Sorcerer Mickey.
Yes.
When the animation is very, very similar when he's like doing the dishes and like packing things into. We compared it to that and also Mary Poppins.
Yes. Which, you know, this came out first before those two.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Which is interesting because in my head, whenever I see something first, it quote unquote came out first. Right. Because Emily saw is first. But this came out before both of those.
Oh.
So it's actually the predecessor. So I imagine that people saw those and thought, that's like Sword in the Stone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's funny because
he's moving those brooms around just like Merlin.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. He needs to clean my house. But Merlin is great. I love Merlin. Let's
talk about who I am. Archimedes.
Archimedes.
What? Archimedes is the best owl ever.
I
thought that
Archimedes.
Owl from Winnie the Pooh was a pretty cool owl. Nah, he's got nothing on Archimedes.
Nah.
And I said
unsufferable know-it-all times seven, and I dig it.
Maybe this is just like a thing, but like I feel like a lot of the animals in all of these early animated movies look similar. Like all the squirrels and the bunnies and the deer and the owls, like they all look the same. But when I came on. When Archimedes came on screen, was it him that said the sugar thing?
What sugar thing?
Sugar.
All I remember.
Sugar.
I was gonna say.
It Voldemort. Was Merlin.
That was Merlin. Marvin.
Okay. Well, anyways,
Marvin.
I have. The story is I've never seen this movie, but the little pop. Merlin was like, sugar? And then apparently I said,
okay,
sugar?
Whoa.
You tell the story
up. Whoa. No one's going to understand what's happening, Michelle.
No.
The night was.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding.
It was the night before Saturday, and all through our house, we were sitting and watching
The Sword in the Stone.
The Sword in the Stone.
There you go. So we're sitting there watching this movie, and the only person who's ever seen it is Andre. So all of us are sitting, and we're watching, and we're listening, whatever, and the scene's going on where they're about to start packing up, and which that sugar little dish is hilarious,
yeah,
right?
It is funny.
He's going around and everything, and legitimately, Merlin goes, sugar? And at the exact same time, perfectly in sync, Michelle says, Chagall?
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
And I and I'm like, whoa, 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 pause this movie. And we all look at her and she's like, what? And I'm like, Michelle, you said you've never seen this. And she's like, I haven't. And I'm like, you just said sugar out loud. And everyone's like, yeah, Michelle, you did. She's like, no, I didn't.
I didn't say it. I don't know what you guys are talking
You're
about.
Straight up liar.
Merlin came out of the TV and like possessed me and made me say sugar, which is really freaking me out.
He does not dabble in dark magic.
That's right.
Well, some dark Madam Mim was behind me then. Okay.
Well, you straight up sugared right with him.
We didn't just suddenly hear your thoughts out loud. You spoke words. The word was sugar.
I don't know what.
And it was hilarious because she did it right with it. She even did like a little like body movement like sugar. What in the world, Michelle?
I don't know.
Apparently
don't know.
She's like clairvoyant.
So I've never seen this movie. My point is that that's not the point. I have a weird point. Archimedes, like for some reason I felt like I recognized him. I've never seen this movie, but I like knew who Archimedes was. I was like, that's the owl. And then I was like, maybe it's because he looks like the owl from Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just because all of those Disney animals look the same. But I'm pretty sure he was the owl on Disney sing-along songs. But then I looked it up and it wasn't an owl on Disney sing-along songs. Oh. It was a different kind of bird. So I don't know where I knew Archimedes from.
Well, Michelle had me 100% convinced that Archimedes was the sing-along bird. So
I
now,
still think he is.
I don't know.
I'm looking it up and Archimedes, he shows up in House of Mouse.
I didn't watch enough House of Mouse as a child to know him.
He's also apparently in Sophia the First. I didn't know that.
Maybe we'll know that in a couple years when Addie gets a little first year.
Yeah.
Anyways, the point is that Archimedes is like the best sidekick ever.
What?
I love when he's or Merlin's like, I will turn you into a human. And he's like, no, human. Fine. And then he goes out.
He really does not want to be a human.
Doesn't want to be a human.
Understandable, dude. I'd rather be an owl, too. I get to sleep all day.
An educated owl.
I can fly.
An educated owl.
I'm smart.
Smart.
I got those big old eyes.
Sounds like somebody who doesn't have a job, Andre.
Oh, I don't have a job. Oh, my God. I want to be an owl so
Sounds
bad.
Sounds like fun.
That's hilarious.
No, but Archimedes is awesome. He's like the most uppity little owl ever. Ooh.
He's one of the most uppity characters in the Disney repertoire that I can think of.
Yeah.
Like, real
sassy.
He's sassy. He sassy even crass. Is like, I was gonna like when the wart is a fish and he like saves him really and he will not agree to the fact that he was saving him. He's like, no, I was gonna eat him. You know it's my favorite dish. Like he was just no, thank you. I will not take on the
so
good
sassy.
The good man. I'm a sassy pants.
I love it.
Sassy pants.
So let's talk. I guess we could talk about wart, which it annoys me that they all call him Wart. His name is Arthur.
The Wart. The Wart.
Too. Why is that a thing? And then Emily was like, is Wart like short for Arthur? Like as a nickname?
Yeah.
I was like, I freaking hope not.
Well, because you know how like Bill is short for William?
Sure.
And there's some other weird ones where it's like you don't even see the connection.
Yeah.
But they literally call him the wart. He's an unwanted thing on your skin that you can't get rid of.
He's
an
orphan.
Blight upon their existence.
That sucks.
Sad day. Mm. So
don't be an orphan, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't be an orphan. Hey, kids out there, don't be orphans.
Which is funny because that may or may not tie into our next movie. So I'll just leave that little tidbit for our.
Oh, yeah, it does tie into our next movie. So life lessons with Merlin. I think there was like three lessons. Like there was three scenes. There was like the fish scene and then the squirrel scene and then the Madam Mim scene. There was like three very distinct scenes with life lessons. So let's go through them because I think my favorite had to be the Madam Mim scene, but that one's last. But we started with the fish life lesson, which I can't even remember.
Brains over brawn.
That was the brains over brawn.
Turns himself and Wart into fish.
That song
teaches
when they
how to swim.
Have the little fish song.
No, no, no.
That one was my favorite. I really liked that song. It was cute.
That's what makes
and Emily said that.
Bless you, Louise.
Emily said that he looked like Nemo.
Oh my God! Totally looked like Nemo.
Yeah.
Like they straight up
the eyebrows.
Oh,
he had eyebrows.
He had eyebrows.
Orange fish.
I like how out of the whole Nemo thing, you picked eyebrows.
I can't imagine Nemo's eyebrows.
It's funny
right now.
That you guys say he did look like that. He did look like Nemo because I kind of have a theory myself that. You know, if you're as great of a company and have such a, you know, long list of repertoires in your book, why would you not go back and kind of look at what you have put in the movie and be like, hey, let's just make a movie out of that instead of having to come up with something completely brand new.
That's why you would not be a successful movie studio, Luis.
Why?
Recreating things that you already have.
No, no, but you recreate the most, like, but what I mean, people would think would be insignificant, but you're like, orange little fish, can't swim, right? Maybe I'll make a movie
it's
about
got a blue
a,
fish friend.
Maybe I'll make a movie
maybe
30
a
years later about
tries
it.
Tries to destroy his whole life.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow, guys. Did we just kind of stumble across
connections.
A connection?
He's friends with birds.
And is am I right? And my wife is looking at me with a face like, you were not right, but I was wrong?
It's a conspiracy.
Sword in the stone.
I have this microphone nubbin so far up my nose right now. I just don't even know what to say. Nubbins.
I'm like reading the lyrics for the What Makes the World Go Round song when they're fishies. And like the lyrics are so good.
It's funny that you say that because I was rewatching this movie before we recorded today. And I actually stopped at the fishing because we had to start recording. And the words in that song are actually probably the most poignant. Or, I mean, again, I only rewatched this scene, but sure. The most poignant in the whole movie.
It's like, very good. It says, you must set your sights upon the heights. Don't be a mediocrity.
Can
Don't
you read
just
it?
Wait. Don't just wait and trust to fate and say that's how it's meant to be. It's up to how far you go, and if you don't try, you'll never know. And so, my lad, as I've explained, nothing ventured, nothing gained. That, like, right there is,
okay,
like,
Walt
the
Disney.
Best thing.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Like, your fate is not just up to fate. Like, you have to do it yourself.
Boom!
If you could change your fate, would ya? I can't say it like Luis.
If you had the chance to
change
your
fate,
would ya? Sorry, Lou. Go ahead.
You do it.
He's making a face at us like, how dare you say my line?
Nah. Thunder's stolen.
But the okay, and you were saying it's Sherman and Sherman, which I've never seen. Saving Mr.
Sherms.
Banks,
the Sherms,
which is another movie that I like really, really want to watch. So I don't know as much about them as I do as like Ashman and Menken duo, you know. But the lyrics to all of these songs, and I did read through them last night, are so good. Like they're really, really great.
I'll even venture to say that I like the music better than I like the commentary for the most part in this movie,
right.
Because there was a lot of like. By Jove! Blast it all! I was like, all right, for the 75th time.
A lot of Britishisms.
What was the Jumpin' Jehoshaphat?
Jumpin' Jehoshaphat!
He said Jehoshaphat a lot.
Yeah, what's Jehoshaphat?
Oh, that's a good question. I have no idea what
I
Jehoshaphat
need to know
is.
What some Jumpin' Jehoshaphat is.
Jehoshaphat.
And for the Hobbit lovers out there, like myself... That song reminds me of when Smeagol's like in the cave for the first time and he's literally like beating a fish to death and he's like, Danish meats for us to eat. It's literally like the same.
It does sound exactly the same, which is like kind of freaky because you were like, oh, he's Smeagol. I was like,
so
what?
That whole song, I wasn't even listening to the words the first time. I was literally just seeing Smeagol in my
Smeagling.
Head. Smeagling.
I think Jehoshaphat is a character in the Bible.
It is, yeah.
But
is this, but is that supposed to be
Joseph?
Like...
Jumpin' Jehoshaphat.
Is it supposed to be like a biblical reference, though?
I think so, because this is kind of all I can find on it. He was king of Judah.
Yeah.
Son of Asa.
Joseph.
He succeeded to the throne in 914 B.C., when he was 35 years old and reigned for 25 years.
Yeah. I think it's just like a
King
funny word, too, though. Like, Jehoshaphat.
You know, it might.
Pigatus mum.
Jehoshaphat's mum.
I liked that song, too.
Your mama.
With the dishes.
Yeah, apparently Jehoshaphat is mentioned in the Bible a bunch of times. So.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It says, Higgitus, figitus, migitus, mum, prestidigitonium.
Prestidigitonium!
What is digitonium?
Alaka fez, balaka zez, malaka mez, merip. Pitties, hockety pockety wockety whack, odds and ends and break and brack, dum doodly 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 dum, higgitus, figgitus, migitus, mum.
Like, I think we have to take the lyrics from Michelle.
Whoa, that is way harder than any spell I learned at Hogwarts.
Augment, tweet.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say that the magic here is quite funny because when I think that especially the generation of moviegoers and readers and everything of this time, maybe like millennials or whatever,
sure.
We think of magic being very different than this type of magic.
Yeah.
So I always think, you know, it always goes back to like Hogwarts and the J.K. Rowling world that has been created. And spells are pretty simple. It's more about like what you do with the spell, the way you say the spell. And this is hilarious because every time he gets Merlin gets ready to do a spell, like his elbows start and his sleeves go and his beard's like a rockin'. And then he's like, I'll forget to swallow it. And he's like moving around. So it's like a whole dance.
It's hilarious.
It's much more of a production.
He pulls out his like 2 foot long wand.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. I really appreciate his...
physicality?
Yes.
Yeah, his, I mean, the physical comedy of it's Merlin a whole, is like great.
It's a whole production. Every time he says one thing, and he keeps asking Archimedes what the formula is.
That's right, you know? He like performs science to create his spells.
And I kind of appreciate that. Like it's like,
which is like pretty cool.
Like his good magic is a part of his science.
He's like an alchemist almost. Yeah, I was just about to say that. He might be using a little bit more alchemy than just straight up magic.
Speaking of...
Aquatius. Aquarius.
Aquatius Aquarius.
Aqualum.
Aqualum. I know. And Archimedes is just like, oh my God. Because he knows all the... I'm
what?
Sure he...
What? Fish?
Ha!
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 Speaking of like references to Hogwarts. Okay, so Madam Mim comes on the screen and I'm like, oh my gosh, a dark wizard. Like, you know? Like,
oh my gosh,
but
a dark
wizard. It's funny because she's so bright. She's like pink and purple. And I was like, this is not a dark wizard. But then she starts doing her thing. I'm like, that's a dark wizard right
You're
there.
Like, that's an Umbridge right there. The most hated.
Yes. No.
She actually was pretty fun, though. Even
I
though
like
she was
She
evil.
Was fun, but she freaked me out when she turned her face into a pig. She was like, I can be even more ugly.
Yeah, I know. I was a little worried about
she
if we got any more ugly. I was
being ugly. She loves being... She's... Nutso.
Hold on, let's back up. We talked about the first scene.
Oh yeah,
the fish.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to the squirrel?
We can go to Madam Mim and then back to the squirrel. So Madam Mim, what was that supposed to be? Like, again, brains and brawn. Like,
I
don't cheat.
Just like outsmart.
He said
enemies.
Something at the end because he was like, "Did you learn it at the end?" And I think he was like, "Yeah, intelligence is good." Like, I think that was what finally convinced Arthur that like he needs to learn because. Merlin outsmarted her.
Yeah.
So I think it was like, you need to be smart.
Yeah, he pretty much like became a virus and gave it to her. Like
he became Malagale Tuliparosis.
Pretty much gave her syphilis.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
I don't know if that's a real disease.
But I think that was the last lesson. So it convinced Arthur like, okay, I'll learn.
I'll learn. No, Madam Mim was pretty good though. And I like how she always was like the marvelous... The magnificent, marvelous, mad Madam Mim. She
mad
wasn't
Madam
just.
Madam Mim.
Wow.
Thank you.
You should just do that every time.
Yes.
She is scary, but I could Disney boundess her very well.
Oh man, you could just roll out of bed and be Madam Mim.
Right.
You want to?
Crazy hair, wear some pink and purple, good to go.
It's like Boo, with crazy hair.
Yeah. Pink same colors. Yeah.
Am I from Monsters, Inc. or am I from The Soul in the Stone? You never know.
And it's funny because I think I've seen Madam Mim, like, pictures of her in places and things, but I've never seen the movie, so I never really knew what she was or who she was.
Yeah.
She's freaky, dude.
I
like Madam Mim.
It's funny because the whole time I was expecting them to give us a little bit more backstory. That's one thing that kind of bothered me. Not when I say backstory, I don't mean like we had to have a 5-minute thing about it, but
whole
like
origin story.
I thought they were going to be like brother and sister or something.
Yeah,
like
right,
Merlin
like
and her.
She's his ex-wife. Or
ex-wife.
Something.
Yeah,
I honestly feel like it is like his ex-wife. Or
have
something.
You ever seen like the Princess and the Bride, where there's like the two like wizards, or I don't even know if they're wizards, but they're like the old people and they're like, have fun storming a castle.
Right.
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife.
Yes.
That's,
yeah.
It kind of like reminded me of that. And they're not, I don't know, I was wanting them to have some, at least a sentence on like.
Like how he knew her.
Yeah.
Like he did know her. He's like, oh, Madam Mim. Like Madam I think Mim. He's just the good wizard and she's the bad wizard.
Or maybe it's just like all wizards know each other, you know?
Probably.
They just
but it was.
I mean, even in The Wizard of Oz, they're like, yeah, she's the bad sister. Like,
right,
but
yeah.
It
just
was
need one sentence.
Hilarious when he was like, basically, he was like, cash me outside. And they went outside to have a wizard's duel battle. And I was like, oh, this is exactly like Harry Potter, like wizard's duel.
I like how they were walking in like synchronized, like hopping, like hop, 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 hop.
They were going
and
outside.
Archimedes was like, yep, they're going to duel it out.
And Arthur was like, what's going on? And Archimedes was like, a wizard's duel. Like, so excited. He needed his popcorn. Like, he's going to watch it. It was great. That was like the most, that interaction where they were literally like, let's take it outside. We'll have a wizard's duel. It's like, that's great.
How
I wish.
How about it?
Sometimes I wish I could tell like some of my coworkers that like, take it outside. Let's have a wizard's duel. and then I just beat them.
You want to?
You want to fight all your coworkers?
Duel it?
I don't know.
You want to give them a virus?
It just sounds like a good way to solve the world's problems. Just a wizard's duel turning into different animals.
I'm just gonna throw it out there that one of the first things Merlin
only
says
leads to more violence.
Whatever.
Merlin straight up said, like, that's the problem with the world today, and then he ends up like resorting
right,
to the same thing.
Proceeds to,
and he also says like something about like being really honest or something, and then he literally says, I'm gonna cheat to get Arthur where he's supposed to be. I don't know about this Merlin.
Yeah, he did say that he was gonna cheat.
Wizards are just eccentric, so that's all I can say. You think Dumbledore didn't cheat? Dumbledore cheated a lot.
Oh, he was a cheat. Speaking of eccentricism, I'm making that a thing.
That's a word.
Okay, speaking of eccentricism, I think it's time for a thing.
Ooh, a battle. A wizard's duel.
A wizard's duel. Boom, boom.
I can keep going, so you just cut us off. Luis has given us the eyes.
This week's battle is related to magic.
Cool. And eccentricism.
Ooh. And a dash of eccentricism. So,
cool.
Like
for
dash.
This week's battle, who is the better magical educator? Mm. Merlin from the Sword in the Stone.
Sword.
Or Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus.
Oh.
Ready, go.
So, does Miss Frizzle have any magical abilities herself?
A magic school bus.
Right on the magic school bus.
I know she has a bus, but does she possess any magical abilities of her own? If she was detached from the bus, could she do any magic?
No, I think it's a magic school bus.
All right, it's all the bus. Gotcha. Okay, so.
But she's still a magical educator.
Yeah, she is.
Sure.
She's very magical and eccentric.
She's very eccentric. I remember that.
Luis, the question is, apart from the bus, does Miss Frizzle have any magical qualities? Or is it the bus that is magical?
I think she has some magical contraptions. Because
she got like some magic gadgets.
Doesn't she have a magical lizard?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if the Liz is magical or not, but like I'm just taking information from the newest version of the Magic School Bus on Netflix, but Miss Frizzle makes an appearance after she hands off her class to her younger sister, and she has a magical scooter. And she apparently
has magical
apparatuses. So
yeah. Apparatus. She got magic hands that create magical objects that she uses in the magic
hands.
World.
She got magic hands.
I need magic hands.
Catch these hands.
She's a magic girl in a magic world.
And I know that the bus has a lot of capabilities. It can do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, a lot.
The Merlin
but she created the bus.
Well, she created the bus.
I'm going to say, yeah, she did.
Oh. Well,
I have
then
no
she
idea.
She definitely has magical powers. She created the magic school bus.
Magic hands.
Man, she's a magical
Catch
engineer.
Catch these hands.
An Imagineer.
Catch these magic hands. She's an Imagineer.
So her versus Merlin.
Marvin.
Marvin, he teaches one student at a time and doesn't do it that well, honestly. Like,
he keeps passing off his pupil to Archimedes.
Right. He's like,
begrudgingly.
Archimedes,
you guys
you
keep
teacher.
Calling him Marvin, but his name is Merlin.
It is.
Okay. I got confused.
Oh. But you know what? We haven't explained why we're calling him Marvin.
Oh, yeah. Mr.
Hector.
Hector.
Mr. Hector calls him Marvin because he can't remember the name Merlin either.
Because he's an idiot.
Because he's Mr. Dursley.
For real. In every sense.
Yeah.
Merlin. That dude is very eccentric, though. Like, when he does that little thing where Hector was like, get out of here, and he was like, okay, and he disappears, but he's, like, still talking in his ears like a weirdo, like, being like, you'll never know if I'm gone or if I'm still here. I was like, that's weird. So that was very eccentric.
And creepy.
And creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, so Merlin, he's not the most ethical of teachers.
Cheats.
He cheats.
Yeah.
He lies. Does he steal?
They both teach. They both teach life lessons.
He pretty much almost kills the wart multiple times.
Yeah, he keeps putting him in like a lot of danger.
Precarious situation.
How much danger do the kids in Mrs. Frizzle's Let's get into
a lot. I remember the episode where they're literally like in the bloodstream of a person, and they're like
one of the other students, even like some random.
They're like trying to fight the red blood cells. That's the episode I vividly remember being like, "Wow, they're in danger."
Shrink down into the body. Yeah, so she puts a busload of kids in danger,
literally,
and he only puts one kid in danger.
That kid's supposed to be the king at some point,
but he doesn't know that.
What was the question again?
Who's more eccentric?
No, guys. It's who is a better magical educator?
Oh, who's the better educator? So,
I'm going to go with Miss Frizzle. Is a better magical educator because
she actually has a teaching credential.
She has a credential. I learned a lot as a kid watching the Magic School Bus. I learned about the whole bloodstream. And I don't think Arthur really was taking Merlin that seriously to really learn a lot. They're different kind of lessons. Like, one was, like, educational lessons. The other one was, like, life lessons.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm going to go with Miss Frizzle because she was teaching them all the, like, educational sciencey stuff that kids are, like, never into. And Merlin was doing life lessons, which is cool. But Mrs. Frizzle probably could have also taught them life lessons. I'm going Miss Frizzle.
Yeah, I think I might have to go with Miss Frizzle, too, just because some of the stuff that Merlin says isn't even that accurate. Like, he says, like, you know, when a squirrel meets another squirrel, they stay together for life. And that's not true at all. They don't. Squirrels aren't.
Monogamous.
They're not monogamous.
Interesting.
Get it together, Merlin.
That was his deciding factor right there.
Like, oh, Andre is so definite on squirrel monogamy.
He's gonna be teaching.
He has a BA in PhD in squirrelology.
He's been to the future. He doesn't even know about squirrels. Come on, buddy.
All right, being a fellow educator, I too will have to go with Ms. Frizzle because she teaches them overall about a lot of things, not just like, you know, how to have grit.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that was kind of my
how
point
to not
too.
Be a squire.
Yeah, I agree too. I appreciate the fact that she's going to make it fun for them versus like he's kind of a sink or swim teacher and I'm not a sink or swim learner. Like, you do not just throw me into a pool and be like, ooh, go. All
right, figure it out.
No. Like, you need to like lead me to water, help me drink, and then tell me to swallow. Like, we're not going to do the whole thing.
That was a great metaphor.
You know what? I just had to add on there just to make sure.
All right. We got a clean sweep for the Frizzle.
Even though we still like Marvin.
Miss Frizzle.
Yeah. I still
Frizzle.
Like Marvin.
Tinsel. Toulouse. Frizzle. Tizzle. Okay. Frizzle, so we talked about the fish scene. We talked about Madam Mim. Now let's get to what our listeners are probably most excited about, because we had multiple comments on our Instagram posts being like, the squirrels, and we've never seen it. So we're like, yeah, the squirrels.
Okay, first off, let's talk about what everyone thought was going to happen with the squirrel scene versus what actually happened.
I for sure was like, the lady squirrel's getting eaten by the wolf. She's dead. And that's why I thought they're like, oh, the squirrels. And I was like, well, that one's dying. Like, we're going to get a rude awakening about nature. But that
would have been a more accurate portrayal.
That's not what happened, and I think it was kind of even sadder what did happen. But let's start from the beginning of the squirrel scene. The most hilarious thing is they are squirrels, and Merlin, now I'm calling him Marvin. Merlin was like, oh, being a squirrel is very dangerous. And Arthur's like, yeah, we're not doing that. And he was like, because you're scared? Basically, he was like playing the chicken game, like, you a chicken? And then he was like, fine, we'll be squirrels tomorrow. And then now they're squirrels. And Merlin is hysterically laughing when the lady squirrel is all of a sudden interested in Arthur.
Girl squirrel.
The girl squirrel was hilarious.
Girl squirrel.
And he's like, oh, yes, this is nature. Like, when a lady squirrel meets a man squirrel, and now you're mates. And he literally is just like, can't help you out of this one. And he jumps on another log and is like, bye-bye. Learn, I would be so pissed.
Yeah, there's a couple problems with this scene.
Arthur is being harassed by this girl squirrel.
He's like, I'm a human, I'm not a squirrel.
And he's 12.
Yeah, he is not even, he hasn't reached adolescence yet. And Merlin is not being any help whatsoever. He's like, I don't know what to tell you, dude. Girl loves you, so I
Merlin
guess,
straight up leaving.
Guess you're getting married now. Sorry, bro.
Guess you're going to be a squirrel forever.
And then it comes back to bite Merlin so bad when big girl
so
squirrel.
So bad when big girl squirrel
big
comes.
Big girl squirrel comes in, and she's like, oh, I like your glasses, Mr. Merlin.
And he's like, listen, I'm an old man. And she's like, mm-hmm. Like, I love when the lady squirrel, like, pushes him, like, flirtingly. But she's so big that he, like, literally runs into the tree trunk, like, oh! Like, because she pushes him
she's
hard.
She's being forceful.
Yeah, she is. The squirrels are harassing the human squirrels.
The human squirrels.
They're just giving girl squirrels a bad reputation. Right. They're not that aggressive.
It was so funny, though. And I remember the scene's pretty long. Like, I want to say it's like at least 15 minutes. Like, it's a long scene. And we're all just all four of us looking at the screen like, what the hell is happening? Like, excuse my language. But we were just like, OK, like,
it was funny.
This is weird, but also funny, but also inappropriate.
And I'm not really sure what the lesson was there.
I can't remember.
It's like
run away from women.
Oh, no, it was about love.
Oh, yes, love. Oh, so it was you want to say what happened at the end.
It was that love is the greatest force in the
universe.
In the world. But love never really popped back up in the story, so I'm a little confused.
Right.
No. Was Arthur a lovey-dovey sword puller?
I don't know. So what happens is Arthur...
Lovey-dovey is pulling that sword.
Arthur falls off of the tree and gets stuck, and the wolf is like coming after him, which I know Luis really likes the wolf. He thought the wolf was funny.
I like how you say wolf.
A wolf.
Wolf.
That's how you say wolf.
Wolf.
No, it's not a wolf. That's what a dog says.
That's what you're saying. What you said. You're saying woof woof.
Wolf.
The wolf. The wolf.
The singular wolf.
The dog with chompy teeth is trying to eat Arthur. And the lady squirrel is like, no!
The wild dog with chompy teeth.
Yeah, there you go. The wild dog. And the lady squirrel's like, I'm going to
save
him.
Hope you guys are enjoying
That's
this.
Literally what it sounds like. Emily's dying laughing. And so what happens is the lady squirrel saves him. And then he's like, the lady squirrel's kissing Arthur. And then Merlin's like, we're done with this. And then they turn back into humans.
He cheats his way out of it again.
Yeah. The big girl squirrel, like, runs away screaming. She's like,
she screams.
But then
I thought she was going to slap him, like, backhand him.
I know. And the other lady squirrel and Arthur's like, I told you I was a human. I tried to tell you. And she's just crying. And she goes back in her little tree hole and she's crying. And then they're walking away and she's crying. I was like, that's not where I thought it was going. I thought she was going to die.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I have two
Much
qualms.
More tragic.
Yeah, two qualms. Heartbreak is sad, but that's not where I thought it was going. Whatever. I'm glad she's
Heartbreak's
not
sad when you're a different species. Like, come
Number
on.
Two, she should have come back at least for a half a second.
Right.
Like, yeah. Why was there literally, like, dumb squirrels? Like, she should have just, like, scampered up to the stone and, like, been there as he was pulling it out.
Right.
Like,
I've been proud of him.
Like, hello, supportive
squirrel. We literally felt like they broke up. Like, we were like, oh, that was the worst breakup ever. Right. Like, it was sad. And I need to know.
I've had those problems in my
life. Is Lady Squirrel okay? Is she still in that tree crying over her squirrel that turned into
she
a human?
Might be. You know,
she could have been his right hand.
Never know. They could have turned her into a human, too, and then they could have lived happily ever after.
Then she just would have been sitting
weird.
Warts.
So thanks, listeners, for warning us about the squirrel scene. That was interesting.
It's actually like one of those really good things, like where you go when you were a kid and you went to your parent and you were like, oh, my God, Mom, I have to tell you something. And she's like, oh, my God, are you pregnant? And you're like, no, I just got an F. And she's like, oh, thank God. Right. It's like one of those where it's like, oh, my God, she's going to die. Oh, she's just heartbroken. Sounds great.
Oh, that's fine.
But it was still sad. We were like, oh, God.
It was very heartbreaking because he didn't even get a chance to thank her for saving his life as a squirrel. He just got turned into a human.
I will say that.
Would he have thanked her, though?
Probably not.
I don't know.
He might have.
Ungrateful.
I think through all three of these scenes, the fish scene, the squirrel scene, and the Madam Mim scene, it takes me through a whirlwind of emotions. Like, I wasn't prepared for how eccentric, for lack of words, this movie was going to be. Mm-hmm. But then also, like, thinking back on it, I'm like, wow, those were some great life lessons. And it was life lessons with Merlin. And it was actually, like, a really good movie. But it was weird.
You know what's really funny is that this is the way I'm going to equate it because I'm watching this for the first time as an adult versus like had I watched it as a kid. Right. So I'm going to take it to a different movie. I'm thinking of Mary Poppins. I watched Mary Poppins a lot as a kid and thinking back on it, I have very fond memories, but I hadn't watched it for years and years and years. And then I went back and watched it a couple months ago and was like, I wish you could see my face right now. I'm like, what? Strange. Like, I don't remember some of the scenes, and the scenes that are very, very odd are the ones that I kind of like, not blocked out, but just didn't, probably didn't understand as a kid, so didn't understand. Yeah. Right. Like, didn't,
so you didn't even take them in, basically. Right.
So then I think of this movie, and I think I might have done some of the same things where you have like really fond memories, but some things really just kind of are just over the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you think about it, Disney had a lot of those scenes in their early movies. So I wonder, I think I would have loved it as a kid.
Oh, I do too.
You know what I mean? But and as think, an adult, I look at some of the scenes and I'm like, that's a little weird.
Right.
But and not even weird, but it doesn't like, have, it's not, the plot isn't very
cohesive.
It doesn't like flow, even like it's not even linear.
Right.
It's kind of like, geek.
Yeah.
And that's my explanation.
I think what I thought was the most funny is, Luis is sitting on the couch like, when's the sword coming? When's the sword coming? Where's the sword in the stone? And we're like, I don't know, Luis. But then at the end when he pulls it out and the narrator comes back and he's like, and that's the story of the sword in the stone. Like, that literally cracked me up so much because in my mind, like, that literally none of the movie was about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's kind of funny where he's like, and that's the story of the sword in the stone.
It takes 71 minutes out of this, like, 80-minute movie to get the sword to show up.
Well, we could just not have called it Sword in the Stone.
Life Lessons been, with Merlin.
Yeah, it could have been a fabulous movie without that, and I wouldn't have been the wiser. But I think because the first time we all were like,
we're like, Sword in the Stone.
Where's
the
stone?
Yeah.
Where's
they should have called it like Merlin and Arthur or something like that.
Like, I was completely...
Adventures of Merlin. Like, just something different than Sword in the Stone.
And he could have pulled the Sword of the Stone out at the end, but it would have made more sense than calling the whole movie
Sword in the Stone.
Way especially because when you look at, like, I was going to say propaganda. When you look at like ads and stuff for this movie and pictures and everything, it's almost 90% is of him pulling the sword out of the stone.
Right.
So it's very confusing when you're like, when's it going to happen?
If you think about it, the sword was in the stone the whole time and he had to learn all these lessons before he could pull it out. That's what made him worthy.
I don't think it is.
Hey,
I think
Mjolnir.
I don't know.
I like comparing the sword to Thor's hammer, Mjolnir.
So here's my question. Thor was always... If Arthur, Morty, had gone up there before he learned his life lessons to pull out the sword, would he have been able to pull it
out?
Or did he have to learn everything first?
I think he had to learn everything
first. He was destined to pull it out. Merlin was just there to teach him things.
So Merlin,
not because he needed to be taught to pull out the sword, but because he was going to do it.
He was
going to
help him fulfill his destiny.
Oh.
So the sword would have been pulled out regardless if Merlin was there or not.
Merlin was
help him.
Merlin was just leading him on the right path, I think.
Hmm. So would it have taken longer if Merlin wasn't there? Like,
probably.
Maybe he would have learned all those life lessons on his own.
Probably.
They would have been in the Dark Ages for a whole lot longer.
Right.
Let's be real. He would have never pulled the sword out of the stone if the other squire hadn't gotten... What did he get? Some disease? The measles or something? He got sick. And then they were like, watch your back in. So if it wasn't for that,
he could have been
dude,
in the first time if it hadn't have been for Merlin in the first place.
That almost makes me think that Merlin diseased that kid just like he diseased Madame Mim.
When do you say that? Because I was thinking about it for a minute. I was like,
because that didn't happen
Merlin
until after
that?
Merlin left, right?
But Merlin didn't want him to be the
Merlin
squire.
Blasted off to Bermuda.
Yeah, because he blasted me to Bermuda.
That was the best.
But he did that because he was mad,
right,
that he was going to be a squire.
Right.
So why did he set him up then? You know, I don't think so.
Because that was the only way he was going to get to London.
Tricky ways, yeah.
But you know what? Maybe. I never get the impression that Merlin knew he needed to go to London.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew.
Yeah, because even when he comes back from Bermuda
Merlin,
in the 20th century,
well,
and he's all in his chucks, he's like, oh, look,
Converse,
you're
I'm
on,
so happy.
You're on the throne. Cool.
But Merlin,
oh, you're Arthur.
Merlin said he could predict things, but not all things. Like, he would see things like, I knew you were going to fall through the roof and end up in my chair, but I didn't know who it was going to be.
Yeah.
I just knew somebody was coming. So he only gets, like, these bits and pieces of the future. So he knew Arthur was important, but he didn't know, like, why he was important until he was on the throne. And then he was like, oh, yes, that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Which is interesting. Like, if you think about how, like, prophecy works, like, if Merlin had the prophecy that this boy was important, that's the reason that he taught him all of these things. But if he hadn't...
Fate.
Right. It's like the whole fate thing. Like, if he hadn't had that vision... The boy technically still would have dropped into his lap, but then...
He wouldn't have done anything with
it. Right. What choice would he have made then? Would he have been like, oh, you look like This might be a teachable moment. Maybe I should teach you
this
something.
Is hilarious because teachable moments. I will say why Merlin. This is hilarious that Andre is explaining divination right now and why it's important. And I love divination, like from the Harry Potter world, and Andre hates it. He's like, divination is pointless. She's never right.
It's not, hang on, wait. It's not. Okay. It's not pointless. But I think about it like how Dumbledore thinks about it, and it's like it doesn't matter what this prophecy says. It's our choices that we make.
But the prophecy needed to be made, and that's why I love divination. I think it's so cool. Like I love Trelawney and all this. And we just watched a documentary on Harry Potter. And, like, they were collecting divination objects, like crystal balls. And to me, all that stuff is so cool. And Andre's like, this is just bull. And I'm like, no, it's true. Divination's important. And you just explained it beautifully, love.
Baloney.
Baloney.
Are we talking real life or are we talking, like...
No, I'm talking, like, in Harry Potter world.
Okay. Because you sounded real, like, convinced. I thought we were talking real life. I mean, I was like, Michelle, I mean, break it back, y'all.
No, I mean, like, in the magical world, divination is important.
Okay, truth.
Thank you. Okay, so I would like to say, although I did not see Sword in the Stone growing up, what I remember of Sword in the Stone is through Disneyland. So,
the land of Disney.
In front of King Arthur's Carousel and all of the Disney parks, there is a sword in a stone. And, you know, there's usually a photo pass person there, and you can take a funny picture of you, like, trying to pull out the sword in the stone. But I made the comment when we were watching this movie, like, didn't you guys watch that show as a kid? And everybody here said no. Maybe that was just me. But my parents, they don't have the show anymore. But it used to be, you know how Peter Pan kind of just walks around Fantasyland? Merlin would just walk around Fantasyland randomly and then go up to the Sword in the Stone. And it was a show where Merlin was looking for the child to, like, pull the sword out. And it was like a 12-15 minute show, and he would pick different kids. He would pick so adults cute. To come up. Like, they would always pick, like, the big burly dude, and he could never pull it out. And then he would pick the smallest kid, and there's, like, a button, like a latch underneath, and when you push it, the actual sword will come out. And it was like the song would play, like, you know, in the scene where he touches the sword and it's like, oh, that would happen. And it would be like, oh, and the kid would pull it out, and he'd be like, by George, it's King Arthur! And it's because King Arthur's carousel is right behind the Sword in the Stone. So I always associated Sword in the Stone with that. And I wish they still did that show because
that sounds really
I
cute.
Loved it. And if you never saw it, if our listeners never saw it or anything, you can look at YouTube videos of it. It opened in 83 and it went all the way till 2006. And then they ended it. But I used to love watching that as a kid. I never got picked for, like, to actually pull the sword out of the stone, but... That's what I associate Merlin with in the Sword in the Stone.
I wouldn't cry seeing Merlin just walking around like
right.
all but that's higgity, why it piggity, makes sense that it's like King tripping Arthur's carousel is right there and the sword is right there. It's so cool. I love it.
Yeah. It's funny that you say tripping over his beard because that was like some of the funniest things with him getting interlaced with his own beard.
When he gets it stuck in like the little airplane and he's twisting it and then when the airplane like falls out of the window, it crashes into the water and like breaks apart like the water broke it.
Gosh. Or even the beginning when he gets it like wrapped around his wand and then he like pulls and it's getting worse stuck and then he like pulls it out and his beard turns into like a crazy cat poof. Yeah.
Like, that it's so weird. Inconvenient, this beard, but he's got to have it because he can't be a weak-chinned wizard dude, right?
Can you imagine what he'd look
like? Weak-chinned wizard dude.
Why do you think he has a beard? I mean, he probably has a funky chin under there.
I feel like you guys are talking about me.
You should grow a beard.
What? Why are we talking about you?
Because I always joke that I don't have a chin.
We're just going to have a pause moment right here. I have known Michelle for years and 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 years. And I have never once thought odd about her chin. And she has a thing about her chin. Your chin is beautiful.
Thank you.
Your chin is your chin,
girl. This is what it is. I will tell the story. There you go. The Hearst. My name is Michelle Hearst. So the Hearst, the Hearst side, my dad's side of the family, we have chins. And they're non-existent. Like our neck is just like, here's a little chin neck. Like mine isn't that bad, but okay. So me and my three sisters all have the Hearst chin, which means our chin is non-existent. My older sister went so far as to last year, she literally got chin surgery and like got a chin implant. So she has a chin now. My youngest sister had to have jaw surgery. And when they redid her jaw, then she had a chin. So I'm the only one left that doesn't have a chin.
I want everyone to look at Michelle. Do you see a lack of chin? I would never in my life
right.
have said lack.
Physiologically speaking, what's the purpose of a chin?
I don't know.
So why would you care if it serves no purpose?
Because
it should be no harm.
You have a beautiful neck. How
because,
about that?
Okay, and here's another story. Here's
Stop touching it. It's weird.
Here's another story. For those of you that don't know, I did a pageant once. I was in the
midst. It was fun.
It was very fun. Pageant. Emily went to saw me and I looked beautiful. I was a Disney princess for a day. I was in the Miss California USA pageant as Miss Stanislaus County. Woo woo.
Oh.
And when we were there during orientation, people from Disney came and they took pictures of our facial structures, like from the front, from the side. Basically, it was us auditioning to be Disney princesses. And like, we didn't have a choice. They just came and took the pictures of us. It was like part of the process mm-hmm. of orientation.
All right.
They took a picture from me from the front and said, you could be Tinkerbell and Alice in Wonderland because I'm short and things like that. And then they took a picture from me at the side and then put my picture in the no pile. And I asked them why, and they said that I didn't have the jawline for it, and it scarred me for life, okay?
So Disney messed with your self-esteem.
It wasn't Disney. It was...
No, it was Disney.
It sounds like it was people who worked for Disney.
Yeah, it was.
No wonder you don't like Tinkerbell.
Mm. I like Tinkerbell.
Or Alice in Wonderland.
I love Alice.
Since when?
I don't love them.
I'm going to just go out there and say she don't love them. She don't love them.
So I don't. Well, I
never heard that story.
I don't like to tell it because it upsets me. Because they told me I could be it, and then they said no right after. It's rude.
Yeah, they should just not say anything. Right, they should just like.
Well, it was my fault that I had to ask. I just saw them put me in the nope. I just assumed it was the no pile.
That's why I love Michelle. Michelle's like, yo, why you put me in the no pile?
What's going on over there?
I was very like, excuse me, don't crush my hopes and dreams. But I mean, it was honestly, I can't be anything at Disneyland anyways because I'm too short. Those are the only two characters I can be, and I can't because I don't have a chin.
So now you and your chinny chin chin.
Our listeners right now are like, shut up, Michelle. Chinny, like, jeez.
Well, the best part
cherie.
Is that there's nothing wrong with your chin. I would have
don't
never
have
noticed.
I have a chin. There's yes, no do. Chin for me. Oh, and then here's another funny story. Here's the last funny story about my chin. I'm so sorry.
The final funny story.
When Andre...
That's funny, like... facial thing.
When Andre and I first went to Disneyland, I really, really wanted the caricatures. Really, really bad. But they were like kind of expensive.
That's right.
But it was cheaper if you do the profile and not like face forward. So I was like, fine, I'll get the profile, even though I didn't want it because I don't have a chin and they were going to draw my non-existent chin, right? So it's like we have the picture hung up in our room. It's Andre looking like we're looking at each other from a profile view. And I was like, not excited to see the picture. And they turned it around and I was all, she drew me a chin. And the lady that was doing the drawing started laughing. She was all, like, she was trying not to laugh, but she was like, like laughing
she
under her breath. And I was like, thanks for drawing me a chin. And she was like, uh-huh.
They gave Michelle the chin and reduced my neck by a lot. I have no neck. So,
well, you know what?
At least they didn't make you.
At least they did not make you into a Disney villain.
Jafar. Disney crushed my dreams, and then she made it better.
Yeah. Well,
they redeemed themselves.
So they made you guys look better, and our caricaturists made us look like.
That's because you got it done in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I don't know. I look like a straight up hussy. Like, I had, like, some crazy eyelashes and these lips.
Well, there you go, listeners. You know the three stories about my chinny chin chins.
Y'all, you never even knew that Michelle had a chin complex.
Right, but now there's three different stories, too.
We're going to see a lot of our listeners in the parks next weekend, and I can just see them coming up to me and, like, patting me on the back, being like, it's okay.
Well, at least you're not the crimson chin.
Yeah.
By my mandible, I say nay. I love the crimson chin.
I do too.
From the Fairly Odd Parents. He's a superhero who's got a big chin and fights crime with it.
He fights crime with his
with
chin.
With his chin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd probably be really inspiring to you.
Sounds like someone I want to be.
It's like Captain America with a chin.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny is like when that movie Maleficent came out, like the live action Maleficent, and they basically chiseled Angelina Jolie's face, right?
Yeah.
I was like, man, I want that chin.
She's just like got a chiseled face.
I know.
I mean, they like
I need it.
They like upped her cheekbones to make her more evil or whatever, but she's got she's really
all
got
right,
those.
Listeners. I'm sorry we're talking about my chin so much, but what does this have
anyway,
on Rotten Tomatoes?
Merlin's weak beard. Oh yeah, Rotten
oh
Tomatoes.
Yeah. The point was that Andre told me to grow a beard to hide my chin. There we go. I'll let you know if I decide to do that, guys.
So yeah, let's start wrapping this up. This movie was pretty well received at the time. It has a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Which is pretty good.
That seems pretty accurate to me.
Yeah.
What was the number? I'm
71%.
71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
71%, Louise.
71% on Rotten
Tomatoes. They're giving each other dagger eyes right now.
70 on Metascore. As a 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb. So
okay.
So it's 7-7.
All right. What are you going to rate it, Andre?
7.
Oh, Emily, you want to go first?
Let me go first.
Okay.
I am going to give it a 6.
Whoa! Oh,
in the stone.
That's the first 6 we've ever gotten. What happened?
It's the first.
Tell me how you feel.
I was misled.
At the beginning of the movie, I'm like, all right, we're looking at about a 9, maybe 8.
Okay.
But then no sword came, so 6.
Mm. So Luis is still hung up on the no sword and the stone actually happening in the movie until the last minute. Okay.
I'm going to tell you that my score is based on the first time I watched the movie, not the second time I was watching it today.
Okay. Sure.
I gave it a 7 right when we finished watching the movie. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I said, that was how I felt about the movie.
Right.
Because there were good points.
Yes.
There were really good points. I really enjoyed certain things. But then I felt like other things, I wonder if they were like, you know how we know a lot of backstory on other movies, but not so much on this one? Like
there's
the older ones, you don't
know
much.
There's not too much out there. Yeah,
but I wonder if they were rushed when they were doing this movie, because animation wise, they reused lots of scenes.
Yes.
Yes, they did.
Multiple times. Like every time, like Wart opens his eyes at the beginning, they keep showing him doing the exact same thing.
Blink, blink.
And like Kay, the brother,
he
is eating the chicken wing or something.
It's the same thing over and over. The same with the dishes. It's the same animation.
And there's a lot of like the same static backgrounds. Like,
yes.
I noticed the static backgrounds like a lot more in this movie than other movies.
For some reason, the static backgrounds didn't bother me as much, but it bothers me if they're supposed to be talking and it's the same animation and the lips are not meeting up with it. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like one cell different. I don't know.
I can agree with that.
But it's funny because the dishes scene is probably, I would say, if you're looking for it, the most obviously redone.
Right.
But it's so spectacular that it doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah, because it's like that seems like really fun.
The
dishes scene bothered me just because they were reusing the animation and the dishes weren't diminishing in the background. Like the piles weren't getting smaller. Like my anxiety was like, oh my God, there's still so many dishes.
Which is crazy because they have thousands of dishes in there, but there's only four people that live in that
castle. I think we counted like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Like why y'all not be doing your dishes?
Right.
Dirty.
But I can agree with
it's
like
the dark
every,
ages, Andre.
The dark
every
ages.
Point you're saying is like,
and that's how at least how I felt that first time. Like I said, I was rewatching it this morning, and I felt I enjoyed it a little bit more. And I think it's because my expectation was very different.
Yeah,
because I wasn't expecting the sword in the stone.
Right.
So yes, or whatever day we watched it, it was a straight 7. It was good, but it could have been better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's my score for that
one. I'm also scoring this movie a 7, basically for a lot of the same reasons you're saying. But one of the things that bugged me the much that we didn't really talk about was the voice of Arthur.
Yes. I have a fact about that. Wart was voiced by 3 different dudes.
Thank you. Okay, I'm not crazy then, because
that makes sense because it felt like it.
Yes.
His voice was changing and it didn't make sense to me. And sometimes it was deep. Sometimes he sounded like a kid. There was a time where I was like, that's a straight up adult. Like, I don't know what that voice is. Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Ricky Sorensen, Richard Reitherman, and Robert Reitherman.
Why?
I don't know why. It didn't specify why, but
did someone like die, go to jail, and then just like replacement, or what happened?
The brothers, they must have just been, you know, there together. I don't know why. I don't have an answer.
Okay, but
chilling out on set, just like Weasley brother, and like, hey, I'm gonna come in.
Let me
at least that actually like proves my point that I'm not crazy, because the whole movie, and I notice things like that. Like I notice the littlest things. Like I could be one of those people where they watch scenes just to make sure that their scarf wasn't on the opposite way.
Oh, you know FYI, I mean? There was a lot of those, but I'm not even going to go into it.
There was a
plenty
lot.
Plenty of goofs.
So I'm going to give it a 7 for that reason. I think going into, like you said, I think if I watched this movie again, I would enjoy it more because my expectations would be different. I wouldn't be like, this is going to be a sword in the stone movie. I'd be like, oh, I feel like laughing today and laughing at Merlin. Okay, I'm going to watch it type of thing.
Right.
But I'm going to say it's a 7.
7 out of 10. I am going to give this just a slight bit more for nostalgia points. I'm going to give it a 7.5. I watched this movie as a kid, and I don't know how old I was when I first watched it, but I must have been pretty young because I think like I take a lot of stuff from this movie into like why I like other stuff now. Like I think like all the Merlin and magic stuff has stayed with me for quite some time. And like I think about it like a lot. I think about Madame Mim turning into like the dragon like a lot, and like Merlin turning Wart into like the bird. I think about that a lot because I wish I could fly.
We totally forgot that he turned him into a
bird.
That was
before they met Madame Mim. Yeah, and Archimedes gets to give off a
he's
a
bird during
lesson.
Madame Mim yeah. scene.
So I like this movie a lot. It's got a lot of fun moments, but yeah, I agree that the plot is a lot less linear than I remember it being.
Like we all over the place.
I really thought that he got the sword like midway through the movie, and the rest of it was like him learning how to be a king or whatever. But no, not at all. Very end of the movie, like very end. Like it's
Luis
the
kept making the joke, like, "Oh my god, he's gonna get it in the last 2 minutes," and then we were like, "Well,
yep, there
you
it goes.
Were
you
one know, minute off, Lou. It was 3 minutes."
You know what we need to do is when we have our Walt Vault takeover at Disneyland next week, is we need to take a picture of Luis with the sword and the stone.
I actually have a really cute picture of him with the sword and the stone, so maybe we can recreate it.
Cool.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
Let's do it.
Speaking of which, we're gonna be in Disneyland next weekend.
That's right, the weekend of March 3rd. 30th, 31st?
Yes, on my birthday.
Yes, we will be there Friday and Saturday. So we're kind of keeping a running list on Instagram of who's going to be in the parks and wants to meet up with us and get some buttons and fun things like that. So
and eat with us.
And eat
because
with
it
us.
Sounds like we have so many plans for eating and not so many plans for other things.
Yeah.
So come pick out. Hashtag always snacking.
Yeah, we want to hang out with you guys.
Isn't that the
truth
so
of if
us?
You're going to be in the park, let me know so you can come snack with me.
Well,
just
and the rest
Michelle,
of us,
I guess.
Too. Jeez.
Yes, and everybody.
The rest of us will just hang out, and you can eat
and
with
can,
Michelle.
You can meet the podcast baby.
Podcast baby will be in attendance.
Good. Michelle and Adeline and the rest of us.
It's so great. We're so excited to meet a lot of you.
So let us know on Instagram, at the Walt Vault Pod, if you're going to be in Disneyland next weekend.
And speaking of...
This weekend.
The weekends. I don't know. Our next...
our next movie.
Our next movie is actually, it's funny because when we were choosing our movies, we were like, some of us were really excited about this and some of us were not.
Yeah, so.
One of us was like, I'm not watching that movie.
Yeah, old man, negative.
Called him out.
I was going to allow him to stay anonymous. But old man negative said, I am not watching that movie legitimately.
And
like,
I
refused.
I'm very excited for this movie.
And we rewatched it together and we are so, so excited for drumroll, please. And I know actually one listener is going to be super excited about this. Meet the Robinsons.
The Robinsons, the 2007 3D animated movie.
This movie is very underrated, in my opinion, and you do have to have the kind of the right mindset going into it to watch it. Like, just go in with no expectations at all, and, like, you'll love it.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
So check it out.
Yes.
Meet the Robinsons. That'll be out next week.
So
cute.
Very excited.
Boo. Properly rated. Boo.
Whatever.
Properly rated.
Okay, first off, he actually really likes this movie now. But
you'll hear about Luis's opinion.
We'll see how he feels. Old man,
the
negative.
Robinsons episode.
Whatever.
So check it out then, you guys. That's gonna be it for this episode of the Walt Vault. Check us out on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at the Walt Vault Pod. Go there, especially Instagram. That's where we hang out. That's where all the action is. That's where you can vote on the fan votes that happen every month. Thank you guys again for voting for that.
Boom.
We appreciate it. We're disappointed in you for not voting Brother Bear. so go there, go to all the social media, send us DMs on any of those platforms, or send us an email to contact@thewaltvaultpod.com, and we may read your message on the show. If you want to get access to our very special after show, A Crack in the Vault, you can go to patreon.com/thewaltvault and submit a donation of $1 or more. And you can get access to the after show. It's very fun. We talk about the more adult aspects of some of these Disney movies and other stuff. We just do fun stuff on Crack in the Vault. So check it out.
Boom.
Become a patron. Boom. Subscribe. We would appreciate a subscription from you.
The subbies.
We're on YouTube, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere that you can get podcasts, but most importantly, iTunes, where we would also like you to leave us a review or a rating.
Most importantly, Google Play.
Nobody asked you, Michelle.
Yeah, they did.
New Google.
Okay,
phone.
Listen. All of my Walt Vaultians
are mad at you.
Are mad at me because I got a Google phone.
It's a very nice phone.
Whatever.
The Google Pixel 2 XL.
There's a whole nother reason why we're mad. Just move along.
Doesn't have iMessage anymore. You guys, subscribe to the Walt Vault on all those platforms. That's it for now. We will see you next week. The vault is now closed.